safe. You're out. What are you talking about? I'm talking about sports and comedy. We're gonna cover it all. This is the Josh Wolf and Adam Ray podcast. Good call.
On today's Good Call podcast, from the new kids on the block and the new TV show Return of the Mac, Joey McIntyre. Check out Joey's new show, Return of the Mac, premiering April 12th on Pop TV. Follow Joey on Twitter at Joey McIntyre, Adam at Adam Ray Comedy, and Josh at Josh Wolf Comedy. Check out all of Adam's live stand-up tour dates at AdamRayTV.com, Josh is at ComedianJoshWolf.com, and go see the new kids on the block on their brand new tour, tickets available at LiveNation.com. And now, here are your hosts, Josh Wolf and Adam Ray.
Yeah, I watched the game at my house, and my wife and I were like, we're not having a party, you know what I mean? Like, we sort of felt like, oh, shit, like, we're not having a party.
Oh, she was bummed about it.
Yeah, because we wanted to, but, you know, we got the three little kids, and one thing happens, you know, it's just, we didn't work it out.
Yeah.
How old are the kids?
9, 7, and 5. Two boys and a girl.
Do you watch sporting events like most Boston fans? Like, do you scare your kids?
Yeah. I didn't realize how much, I guess, I wore my heart on my sleeve, my Boston heart on my sleeve, because I did nothing to try to sway my kids to be Boston fans. So my oldest son, he saw it in me, but I didn't think I was one of those rah-rah guys like, you gotta love these teams. I never pushed it, but he loves, you know, from very early on, just had a sports connection since he was like three, four years old. Loved the Bruins, loved the Celtics, loved the Red Sox, loved the Patriots. So he's very, you know, intense with it. And then my 7-year-old now and my 5-year-old girl, my daughter, is, you know, we're all into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we went 2 years ago. I brought my son Griffin, who he was 7 at the time, and we went to the game, the Seattle game.
Yeah. You went to that game too.
Yeah, yeah. So,
oh, pretty good.
Yeah, we can move on for sure.
But you know what's funny?
What's funny is that game was
was amazing.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned like you don't think you wear your fandom on your sleeve, right?
Yeah.
But your kids are all Boston fans.
Yeah.
It's the exact opposite with me. So when my son was 7. He's walking up the driveway, and he was walking up wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey. And I kind of stopped him. I go, I'm at the other end of the driveway. I go, hey, buddy. And he goes, hey, Dad. I go, what are you wearing?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's my Kobe jersey. I won it at school. I'm like, that's great, man. You know you can't wear it in the house, right? No, I'm not kidding.
That's
7.
That's an outdoors
piece. He's maybe
of clothing.
8. Yeah. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, we don't like the Lakers.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, but we live in Los Angeles. I go, I don't care where we live.
Yeah.
And listen, that
sounds like crazy parenting, but I feel like that's what I would do.
I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
We're Jewish. I sent my kids to Catholic high school because I wanted them to learn. I thought it was important them to learn everything and make their own choice.
Yeah.
My daughter, when she was 14, told us that she was dating her best friend, this girl that we had known forever.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck who you have sex with.
Right.
I don't care what religion you are.
Yeah.
Lakers fan.
Right.
No, I don't think so. No.
That's where you put your foot
down.
That's
where I drew the line. Like, I'm open-minded, except when it comes to Boston sports. Like,
now, what if your daughter, what if the girl she liked was a Lakers fan?
Well, then she would have had to, they would have had to scissor outside.
She's gone.
Nice. That's the one. You've always said that, though. That's not a new rule.
Yeah, you're the only scissor. You got to scissor outside.
Scissor outside, honey.
We do the LA scissor outside. The Boston scissor is inside.
Wow. Yeah.
Wait, so, all right, so no party. So you just did.
We just got
you
the
had decorations
streamers.
Up.
I did put decorations up and got the streamers out and went back and forth. Did a little, like, you know, kind of hanging from the ceiling thing.
I don't know if you hung the streamers, but they were very, like,
of course I did.
The photo I saw, I was like, oh, that person has hung streamers before.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've been, it goes with my metrosexual, you know.
Yeah.
You know, 7 older sisters, you
That's
know.
A secret skill.
I mean, it's no secret to anybody either. It's never been a secret.
Oh, it's out.
So, I'd be so good if I was gay. And I thought for a while I might be gay, but I'm not. You know what I mean?
7 older sisters?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, and an older
that's
brother.
That's as Boston Catholic
girls,
as it gets.
My brother than me.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That's
Joe
a lot.
Up. You can,
oh, I'm sorry. You're not getting me?
No, you are. I just feel like you're leaning. Yeah, I want you to be comfy.
Hello.
Wait, so yeah.
So we just watched it, and I didn't sit down the whole game. I realized early on, like, and what, you know, we're all watching and everything, and I didn't think it was any big deal, but when they didn't get the first down,
mm-hmm.
you know, on that first drive, they were three and out. I was like, geez, you know, yeah. and everybody like turned around and looked at me like, you know, my wife and my mother-in-law.
Well, look, the Super Bowl, they're like, every play is magnified.
It was ridiculous, yeah. but I was just like, that first series is big.
Yeah, it is.
And then I chilled out. I mean, partly because of the look, and they were right, but, you know, they gave me a look, and I was like, all right, I'll chill out. But I was proud of myself at my reactions. I wasn't losing it. I was trying to be positive throughout, kind of have a sense of humor about it, realize how lucky we are in Boston, you know, and it was just, you know, the Falcons' day. We all thought it was the Falcons' day, and I wasn't giving up. I mean, even throughout that, in my mind, I was thinking, well, at least they're making it in the game.
Yeah.
At least it's not embarrassing. But I didn't. It was on the tip of my tongue.
But you don't let that come out of your mouth.
No. The one thing I could do for Patriots Nation was not let that come out of my mouth. That was my part.
Uh-huh.
That was my, you know, grain of sand on the beach.
And
the
here's what I want to add to that. And the only way I can relate to that is the Seahawks-Packers NFC Championship game, where as I'm watching that, I go, after Russ threw his fourth pick, in your head, you can't, as a sports fan, it's only human nature to, like, pull back and go, and have a moment where you go, I need to check my emotions, because if I... And also, it's just like the way the game's going. Like you said, like I said that day, I go, it's the Packers day. Like, four picks, 5 minutes left. There's no way. No. But you don't say it, because you're like, now I'm making it real.
No.
Do you know... So the first half, I watched the game. First half, I went to a party. Second half, I promised my son and my brother I'd come back to my house.
Nice.
So it was probably 100, 150 people at the first party, three Patriots fans.
Wow.
So, and it wasn't even they were Falcons fans. They just hated the Patriots.
They not only they do like they hate people. The Patriots, and who there's no, and it's the two most divisive topics in the country.
Yeah.
Patriots and Trump.
I know.
So we're in LA, you're in LA.
Yeah.
So there you go. So everybody's voting for, I mean, rooting for the Falcons because. Dude, yeah,
Brady's a Trump fan.
Yeah, Trump and Belichick and Kraft.
The party I was at had a Tom Brady pinata and a Donald Trump pinata.
Oh, what a great dude.
And I was
great party.
So Matt, it was Michelle Beadle's house, right? And so Beadle at 21-3, every time the Falcons score, is running up in my face and going,
Great.
So at 21-3, I turned to her. I go, I got to go at halftime. Now, she thought it was a bitch move that I was bailing out. And I said, no, I promised my son.
Another party,
And she was like, whatever. Just promise me you'll come on the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because she thought she was going to be able to rub it in.
Wow. Oh,
shit.
And I said, okay, I'll be there.
Oh,
and she goes, you better wear that Patriot gear. I go, oh, I'll wear it.
Wow.
I showed up. I showed up the show the next day, and she was like, "I fucking hate you." I'm like, "I can't wait to talk to you on the show."
She's anti Brady.
Hates Brady.
Now, what do you guys think as Brady fans? Because look, I
don't understand why people hate him. I honestly don't.
And look, I say hate because it's like, as a sports fan, it's like it feels good to hate. I hate the Yankees. I hate.
Yeah.
Look, Michael Jordan got in the way of my Sonics winning a championship.
But did you hate Did you hate Jordan?
Here's the thing about sports.
This is what made Deflategate the perfect storm. Is sports was the safe place to hate. That's where we could all bust each other's chops. That's where we can bust each other's balls.
See,
the worst, filthy, awful, you know, homophobic, slanderous, awful things to each other. And it was okay.
Yeah.
And then along came Deflategate. And suddenly it got vicious and evil. And you started really, people went after his character.
Because Goodell was a piece of lying shit,
dude. Of course. And the thing is, there's a lot of crossover there. People that hated Brady still hated Goodell, right?
Yeah,
you know, that was like, took the edge off a little bit. But the thing is that, you know, when the whole thing, I don't know where we were at, but to get to Deflategate,
because
that's the fuck, is that he, or why do we, what you
well,
say,
saying,
why
like,
do I love him?
I was going to say, like, for Patriots fans, I'm curious, like, what you think about the people that do express so much hate towards him. Like, do you just brush it off, or do you get defensive?
I can honestly tell you this, and this is, I'm telling you, there isn't a team, for me, and I'm curious where you stand on this. If I was going to rank the four Boston teams, my true love starts with the Red Sox.
Well, they,
which is interesting for Boston people, where we different people rank different era for ways.
You know, See, I would rank the Celtics. They are the.
You think it's a baseball town? It's hard to say.
Isn't
right?
that ridiculous? That's how spoiled we are.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
We're
now,
so, well, let, let's
now,
think.
Dude, you didn't grow up spoiled.
Know. No. Now we are.
Yeah,
though.
Now, 100%.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, yeah. we're debating. Look at how lucky we are. We're debating.
Absolutely.
Do we love the Red Sox? They won three World Series in this century.
Yeah.
And, oh, no, we want the and then, you know, and like, throw in a Stanley Cup, and then, like,
and
the
fucking
Celtics,
yeah.
It was like, but, yes, I think the fabric, that we are Red Sox.
I think so.
You know, the history. It's like, they're like the Paul Revere of Boston.
100%.
It is woven into the fabric. Fenway Park.
Baseball is the oldest
bricks,
sport.
Isn't, the Green Monster.
Isn't baseball the oldest sport?
The oldest sport.
Yeah,
I mean, they've been around for 100
and
something years.
And the city
years.
Was built around Fenway Park.
Yeah.
You're
it's
right.
Crazy.
It is in the fabric yeah. of the
yeah.
city.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you, for me, this is how I feel about Brady. And this is why it doesn't make sense to me. I hate the Yankees more than any team in any sport.
Yeah.
Always will. I never hated Jeter.
No.
What was there to hate?
How can you hate Paul O'Neill?
I never hated him.
I mean,
but that's why I don't understand why people hate Brady. He plays the game the right way. He's good with his family. This one.
Yeah.
I mean, the last one. Everyone gets a starter.
Yeah.
He loves his parents. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
He plays the game the right way. He's a sixth round pick who worked his way up from nothing to the best.
People,
what's not to love?
Here's, and I think.
But you
for
see
the
what's
part,
to hate.
What?
But I'm not.
How great it all is. Like,
okay.
That's what people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And again, sports is a safe place to do that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, now we don't even care.
Yeah, I know.
We barely, you know, when it all happened, we don't even care anymore because it's so obvious.
You're saying after that game?
And what's that?
After that game?
After the fourth Super Bowl. We sort of were like, no! When he had three fucking Super Bowls, right? And it's going on and leading up to the fourth Super Bowl. We're like, no, fuck you. He's the greatest. He's the good. But then he get the fourth one.
Yeah.
And then you're like, sort of like, see, motherfuckers, and people are still trying to be crazy. Now, it's over. Deflategate is a silly, ridiculous thing that is officially buried. It's done. It's over.
And proven to be a load of shit, by the way. Because there were balls in the Steelers-Giants game this year that were deflated, that had lower PSIs than the Patriots game, and they brushed over it. Why?
It doesn't.
Because it really, truly doesn't matter.
And
I want to say what people forget too about that fourth Super Bowl is that, like, everyone brushes over Brady's performance because they focus so much on how the Seahawks fucked it up. And what they forget is that Brady
was down by
10. Tore our defense apart.
13 for 15, 150 yards,
which,
two touchdowns.
Which, by the way, look, our defense was so beat up, I could have tore our defense apart. All right? Like, sixth grade Adam on the fucking recess field.
You still had Sherman. You still had a couple of guys.
Sherman had one arm. Chancellor had a knee that was, like, dislocated. Lane, who was the only guy who was picking.
Are you going to put in the fucking sad music in post?
This is sad music. These are facts.
I was just going to pull up a picture of the interception. Just
but that's
what
I just want to say is that, like, had that not. And look.
By the way, did you see Gronk on the fucking sidelines? The greatest fucking tight end ever?
Brady played well that game.
It's a team.
And also, what I want to say is that, look, I was building to a compliment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Well, you were taking the fucking long way.
Well, is that had Lynch even run that ball in, I say this so quickly, is that, like, there was still, I mean, I don't think there were 30 seconds left. There was maybe, but I just think it's not impossible for Brady to have made a couple plays in that last drive.
You know what it was,
you know?
Though?
I agree.
And here we are. Talking about that, because to me, I don't know, maybe I was there even after what just happened, maybe because it's unbelievable what we just saw on Sunday. But
what,
like,
you guys did is a bigger deal than that Seahawks game.
Not for me.
No, more exciting.
More exciting.
More fucking, like, oh,
without a doubt.
The buildup. Listen, this game didn't have the buildup.
Agreed.
It was like, good team, Patriots maybe going to do it another time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the Seattle thing, you had the Legion of Doom, Boom, or whatever the fuck the nickname is.
Yeah.
And, it's the Boom.
Okay, the Boom.
And I'll edit that out
great
so
team,
you say it right.
Great team, great talent, young talent,
yeah.
Hungry.
Okay.
You know, you got
returning
Sherman,
Super Bowl champs.
Best defense ever. Unbelievable.
And Brady's legacy going from being 4-2 and 3-3 in Super Bowl is a huge fucking difference.
It is.
Not having won since Deflategate. people questioning if they would ever win again.
Wow. Yeah. Deflategate becomes a bigger deal if you lose that Super Bowl,
Much bigger deal. Oh. And so to Spygate, that's what I mean, not winning since Spygate.
Yeah. Wait, how many gates does this guy have?
Yeah. Two ridiculous ones.
What did they also, they tried to do, what was the other one?
Does he have Stargate, the series?
There was one gate. There was one gate that came
and
up.
Alarm Gate. Gateway to Heaven with Michael Landon. Yeah. I think he was in that too.
And then Alarm Gate. Alarm Gate, when the 25-year-old drunk dude at 3 in the morning pulled the alarm at the Steelers hotel.
And what about the fact that the Falcons have been pumping crowd noise into their stadium for years? Yeah. Nobody mentions that. You know why? Because they sucked dick. Yeah. That's why.
Here's the thing, too. What people don't choose to acknowledge is that in every sport, there are people trying to
gain advantage.
In every aspect. Yeah. If you really wanted to ruin sports media, you could go through and find, I mean, steroids is just the tip of the iceberg. It's like the amount of things that are happening behind the scenes in the locker room during the game.
Will you do me a favor?
Things are getting shot into their bodies or wrapped up. Guess what? I don't want to fucking see it, dude. Yeah. I just want them to go out and play and have it be entertaining.
Here's a couple things that I think are incredibly hypocritical. Okay. I think, and I could be proven wrong, but I think since Pete Carroll joined the league, no team has been busted for PEDs more than the Seahawks.
Oh, really?
Why aren't they? I believe that's true. Why aren't they labeled as cheaters?
It's not true, but he believes it's true.
Typical Patriots fan.
No, dude, I really
Brady
think
Brady and Trump are rubbing off on you. No. These are alternative facts.
He's gonna say, but you have to look it up.
But you got the computer in front of you.
Yeah,
but go to yourteamcheats.com.
Oh, wow.
And look at the Seahawks.
Yes. Is that a real site?
Yes, yourteamcheats.com.
Oh, I thought you were making a dig.
And look at the Seahawks. My point is this, is that all of a sudden, even if Brady, let's say even if it's true, why is he labeled more of a cheater than the dudes who get caught with PEDs?
Because
why is he so vilified for this little tiny thing, which is really an equipment adjustment, maybe at best.
Well,
and not a true advantage as a player who's injecting shit into the body.
Their argument will be, like Nixon said, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. So their argument was, he's lying, right?
Brady doesn't seem like a liar.
My point is, though, even if this, I might give him this, because I don't care, but he wanted to get up that first press conference and go, are you fucking shitting me?
Yeah.
Are you bastards? He got up there and all those, that New York press and all of them drove up to Boston so they could point, what do you say to the kids? Do you think you're like the shit he had to put up with in that press conference.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Was crazy. Listen, Tom is, in my opinion, he's a genius between the lines. Off the field, he's a very innocent guy.
Yeah.
He's a goofball.
And a dork.
In a good way. He's a dork and a goofball. Yep. And that's, so he's very innocent in that way. Now,
I need you to put your pants on if you're going to finish this podcast, by the way. I don't know where.
Both of us are just
your hands have gone to positions.
I'm at the fluffing stage. So, yeah, fluffing each other.
Yeah.
I'm about to start whacking it off the table in a second.
Yeah.
He's a great dude.
But let's say he lied. Let's say he did. Let's say he knew that the balls were down.
Hey,
right?
He did.
He's saying, fuck that, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is, I think I got like two more fucks and a motherfucker left.
Get them all in.
I'm going to use them wisely from here on out.
I got a couple extra ones if you need.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. So he lies.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you got to be shitting me. Then, obviously, he destroys his phone because I'm not going to give you my phone, Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
You lying sack of shit.
Dude,
who would leak anything?
Who would? Why is that a big question mark?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he destroyed his phone because he's not going to give it to the guy.
Yeah.
Because
that makes sense.
At the end of the day, also, if you don't know anything about him, he's incredibly private. Mm-hmm. And there's no way he trusts the NFL just to look for deflate shit. There's no way.
And that's why that does contribute to the conspiracy, because he is so private that people are like, dude, what are you hiding, man? You don't let us see. I mean, just the fact that he releases dietary fucking breakdown was like people flipped out about, because they were like, we got an insight into Brady.
Right.
And you know, look, when I watched him at the parade and watched how fucking awkward he was, he's like, we did it again. And I'm like, dude, that's why you don't talk much. You can stay inside and fucking put on a hat.
Exactly.
Because you're not very charismatic at all.
That being said, the epic speech before the Seattle game.
Come on.
It's about honor. We're honoring your kids. I mean, your kids, kids. That was phenomenal.
Yeah,
I guess.
That was still hard.
Dude, between I'd rather hear Mel Gibson deliver that.
Like I said, between the lines. He is is. He is Braveheart. Yes. Between the lines, he's Braveheart. Off the field, he's, you know.
Nothing pumps me up more than him screaming, "Let's go!"
Yeah, that's his catchphrase.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
And that's a good one. He probably says it before he fucks Giselle. And I think, and dude, that pumps him up. Dude, I would. It makes me think about what's my catchphrase.
What if his kids like are late? You know, you got to take the kids to school every day, getting your shoes on and everything, and just like, let's go.
You know what it came from?
Hurry up, yeah.
You know, he's at Starbucks, like, let's go.
I know exactly. That'd be
awesome. My fuck catchphrase to my wife is, "Do you wanna?"
Yeah.
Do you wanna?
Yeah. Nice. You wanna? Do you wanna?
Yeah.
I don't know what my catchphrase
isn't there, like, because there's not a whole lot of just like 3 hours worth of wooing with three kids.
I want to say mine is, "Should we?"
Should we? Yeah, same thing. Should we? Yeah. Should we? Do you wanna? Should
That's
we?
It's amazing.
Yeah. You're at that thing.
Should
too.
We is yeah.
Yeah. Should yeah. we? And the foreplay is really walking into the room and like, I thought about this the other day. I can't remember the last time I undid a bra.
Mm.
As a married man.
What a great thing.
Can
to
you
think
remember
about.
The last time you undid like, because my wife
a new bra.
I don't undo my wife's bra.
No.
Right? Do you know what I mean?
You're not 12.
No.
You're not fucking 12. That's extra backseat of a car.
Yeah. Yeah, like I haven't undone a bra.
Yeah.
So that was the reason I thought
it's
about
embarrassing.
By the way, yeah, Joe, really Joe didn't you join the new kids was it 10 or 12?
12.
Yeah, see, by the way, just a little
Here's
insight.
Reference,
at
yeah.
12, by the way, already taken up.
I was a late bloomer.
At 12, you joined at 12?
Yeah.
12.
How many good years, how many, not good years, but how many years? How many years were you guys going?
No, yeah. Well, we were 15 when we got our first hit record. Yeah. So 12, we were just kicking around in Boston and hustling and doing talent shows. And then 15, we got a hit record. And then we traveled for about 4 years, 4 or 5 years.
How old were you 20. During that? That was amazing when you reposted on Instagram that Super Bowl video.
Oh, that was funny.
Have you seen that? Uh-uh. They performed at the Super Bowl halftime show in 91.
But it was preempted by Bush 1 because of the first Gulf War.
Yes.
So no one saw the performance.
Ah.
Thank God. But I did say, about my tweet was, you know, I did a little Instagram of that. And I said, thanks to Tom Brady, this is now the second most unforgettable performance in Super Bowl history.
Wait, yeah. when you're growing up in Boston and you're in a band like that, because New Edition was a couple years before you.
Oh yeah,
those guys talk to you about it, and any kind of mentoring at all, any kind of thing. Hey, this is something the type of stuff we'd stay away from, or the type of stuff you do.
Well, they were heroes at that time, especially
right.
that time. We looked up to them, you know, bought their records and the whole thing. But the thing was, is that the guy who produced their first album put us together and produced our first albums. So there was a connection there, but we never, back then, we never hooked up. We've hung out since then, but not early on.
You know, and I don't know if you know this, very early on in my life, not that early, maybe 19, 18, I auditioned for a boy band also.
What?
Now, my question to you is, did you audition?
In Boston?
Out here.
Oh.
Did you audition?
There was eight.
And were there type? And were there type? Because I remember I was a type.
We created the type, though.
Yeah, dude.
We made a mold, okay?
All right, okay.
We mold. And they didn't break the mold. They took that fucking mold.
Yeah, you did.
And they fucking,
what would you consider your type to be, then? What's your archetype?
I was a little cute one.
Yeah.
You know, you got the sexy one, the shy one, the bad boy, Donnie, the cute one.
Dude, I think, and the Fatone.
And the Fatone, yeah. The muscle guy, you know, Danny's the fit one.
You created the term, like, I'm a blank girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Joey girl.
For
sure.
Girl,
yeah. But what happened was, it was very unceremonious. What happened was, Maurice Starr, who's a very, very talented guy, and said, you know, he had an audition, he said, and then they broke up. And he said, well, I'm going to do this with white kids, and it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
You know, it was a big 6'3" black dude with an afro and sweetest guy, but cocky as a bastard. I mean, this guy's ego was like, you could not. He would go up to people. He would embarrass us. Like once we started making it, he would go up to like Teddy Riley and be like, "You can't sing. You can't play. Move over." And because he was so fucking talented. It was crazy.
Like he was so cocky. Like he'd go up to Tony the Tiger, and Tony's like, "They're great." And he's like, "They're all right." And Tony's like, "Well, fucking, you're right. They are. They're actually not that great."
Yeah. No. He'd fucking say, "You're not saying that right, and you should say it. They're great." You know, he'd say it differently. So he was something else. But so he had Donnie, but he was also kind of lazy.
Yeah.
And, who was the first? Like
Donnie.
Donnie was the first.
So Donnie lived next door to a girl. Actually, Donnie dated a girl who was lived next door to a who we call M. Lou, this woman who was helping Maurice put the group together.
Yeah.
So Donnie met Maurice. They got together. They hit it off. Donnie was like a huge personality in school. Not really a formal like performer, but like he could rap. He could just, and he was a big personality. So he was going to put the group together, and then Mark was in it for a few months, and then Mark was like, "I'm not doing this, and I'm done." Right. So it was just Donnie and like a drum machine at Maurice's house. Holy and finally, shit. He's like, I gotta fucking put a band together, or else, you know what I mean? So he just said, all right, Jordan and John were in the choir from grammar school. I remember those guys, and literally driving up and goes up to the house. And he and Danny were friends in high school, and he and Danny would break dance and perform that way too. Danny didn't want to do it, but then when Jordan wanted to do it, he was like, fuck that, I'm going to do it. And then John was, you know, part of the package with Jordan, yeah. because if your brother's going to do it, you got to do yeah. it. And then they had this one other guy, Jamie Kelly, and he just wasn't into it. They say his parents weren't into it either, but he was in it for about 6 months. But they really wanted a young little guy. Yeah. Even though these guys were like 15, 16 years old. Yeah, they were fucking little too. But I was little. I was 12.
What goes into that thinking that you need somebody that's just
It's the Michael Jackson. It's the Michael Jackson
thing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Maurice was raised, again, he's a black guy. Right. He you know, New Edition, yeah. you know what I mean? The whole, that he's from that stuff, gotcha. You know what I mean? That sound, that yep. That just classic funk soul.
Yep.
And so he's like, you need the little guy. And so I was a little guy. I was doing like, you know, Oliver and Music Man, like a couple towns over, still in Boston, Jamaica Plain.
Yeah.
And they were from Dorchester, which is, like I say, Beirut compared yeah. to, I'm growing yeah. up, I'm like, yeah, I'm all set with Dorchester. Yeah. I was done, right?
Yeah.
And then they called again. Yeah, I called again, bro.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was like,
no, I'm good.
And then I heard they would, you know, he started New Edition. I was like, oh shit, you know, New Edition. I had those
New
records.
Edition was
yeah.
it. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, so, and then I tried out, but it was very unceremonious. It was like,
how yeah. much input do you guys, especially at your age, how much input do you guys have into the actual music? And at what time?
Then?
Yeah. At what stage did you guys start to have input into the music?
Well,
because they were writing your stuff for you early on, right?
Yeah. I mean, Maurice was prolific. I mean, he's so talented, dude. Unfortunately, he just had a really bad stroke like recently. So it's really sad because he's so freaking talented. But play the guitar, play the keyboard, like drum machine, do everything. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So he had a lot of songs and he was driving it. But Donnie wrote a couple of songs on the first album. They were raps, actually. This is right. before the Beastie Boys. We had two raps on our album. And then the second album, Hangin' Tough, which was the big album for us, Jordan and Danny and Donnie started writing more. They probably wrote like two or three songs. But he was the force, you know, behind the music. But, you know, and then it became a lot. People wanted to tell that story that, you know, we were puppets and we were created and manufactured. And it just wasn't true. Like, no one told us who to be. We had a shitload of personality, a drive to perform and win over every crowd we did. We earned it. We got lucky. But, like, we turn it out at the Apollo. You can't fucking fake that. You
but
know
it's
what
not
I'm
lucky, dude. And yeah. this is
no,
why
there are some. You got to be lucky, right? No matter what you do.
Yep.
You
know? Yes, but the truth of the matter is, it's like I hear it all the time. You know, my biggest the biggest thing that I hear online, obviously for me, is and I've heard Artie Lang talk about it too. Mm. You know, people are like, well, if it wasn't for Stern, you'd be nothing. And people say to me all the time, if it wasn't for Chelsea, you'd be nothing. Yeah. And I always say, yeah, listen, you're given an opportunity. But a lot of people are. It's whatever you do with that fucking opportunity.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, so that guy helped you with an opportunity, but it was a whole team that
yeah.
brought it together, right? Take one piece out of that team and who the fuck knows. Like,
absolutely.
If that dude had decided not to leave and no Joey Mack, what happens?
Who knows? Yeah. I was just reading the Bruce Springsteen autobiography, and he says something that every person in a band has to realize is that the guy next to you is a lot more important than you think he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's saying that about the E Street Band. You know
wow.
what I'm saying? So if the boss is saying that, you know, exactly. It's like the piece of the puzzle. We're all a piece of the puzzle and a lot of things have to happen. And
how often do you see Super Bowls and think of that experience? Like, is that, to me, I feel like...
Oh, that was a dream. Back then, we were so... At that time...
didn't understand the magnitude.
We just wanted to get off. The train was, you know.
Who was playing that Super Bowl?
The Giants in the first Giants Bills game. The first Bills that they lost.
What a great fucking
game. Norwood, the wide.
Where were you sitting for that? Did you have good seats?
The winning field goal, I was right under the uprights. Because the Giants kicked the field goal to make it 2019. And Norwood was the guy who missed it the other way.
Yeah.
But there was like 2 minutes left and they kicked the field goal.
And you guys were underneath that.
I was. I just remember hanging out. But I didn't really have, you know, the Patriots weren't even a fucking thing back terrible. Then, right? You know what I mean?
Steve Grogan and Tony Eason.
Yeah, when did they even become, was it Brady really?
2000. Well, Bledsoe.
Parcells.
No, 96.
Bledsoe, that was huge.
Give them Parcells started to turn it around.
Yeah, Pete Carroll, right?
Fuck Pete Carroll. He was terrible.
No, that was a dip.
He was, yeah.
Well, let's be honest. That wasn't Pete's fault.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
It's all part of them.
Yeah, it all brought us to where we are now.
What I want to know is just to close the book on the how great Brady is. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I like about him it's obvious what I'm, you know.
Did you look up your teamcheats.com by the way?
Look, we got sidetracked.
Okay.
But what I'll tell you what I do like about him. I love athletes, especially quarterbacks, because there's so many. Matt Ryan to me is the most boring. Mm. He's like a, you know, he should be an assistant coach on the Spurs. He's just boring, like very fucking methodical and accurate. Yeah, yeah, and he looks like a substitute teacher. And like, but, and I've never seen him like, even when he screams like, come on, or whatever his fucking catchphrase is, he looks fucking weird. So when I see Brady like losing his mind, I love that. Mm. Like, when Russell Wilson did it for the first time, I was like, oh, that's in there? Like, that's dope. You never get to see that enough from quarterbacks. And especially like, I guess guys like Brady, who is always so poised and like just confident, you never see the emotion. So I love that about him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all that off-field stuff. And when I saw him with his parents, like, you're not a human being if you don't like appreciate that.
Can I tell you what I think he doesn't get enough credit for? Now, obviously, circumstances make it easier for him. But when we talk about people who truly want to win, you're talking about Tom Brady, arguably the best quarterback ever. Some people saying maybe the best football player ever, who has averaged $9.6 million against the cap. Mm. So he's right now, I think, the 17th highest paid quarterback in the league. Now, Drew Brees can tell me all he wants that he wants to win, but his $26 million a year, because he wants to be the highest paid person, fucks his defense forever.
Wait a minute.
So anytime you tell me that Brady is selfish, dude, nobody wants to win more than this dude and his $14 million a year salary. That's why they can pay people on defense. That's why they can re-sign Dont'a Hightower. That's why they can re-sign Malcolm Butler.
And he doesn't do any endorsements, does he?
He does endorsements. And it's easy.
He does.
Listen,
what does he do?
He doesn't watch. And it's easy. His wife makes $40 million a year, so probably makes it a little easier.
All right. You know what?
Probably makes it a little easier.
A key ingredient
but
you left out.
Brees could make $15 million a year plus endorsements, bring him up to 20, and not handcuff his team like he does. Andrew Luck, he needs people around him. I think he's going to make something like $26 million a year. Now you're fucked.
Russ took a little discount.
That's what I mean. So you have to how much do I want to win compared to how much I need to make? And
people don't look, you're right. People don't look at that enough. They really don't. They really don't look at it because let's see what they're doing.
Also, have you seen footage of his like combine practice? The fact that I see that tape and then think about what he's achieved in itself is mind blowing.
When you looked at him run that 40, were you like, oh, that dude should not be
I was like,
football
he looks like my PE teacher when he was trying to show us how to run.
Yeah.
Just the picture of him in those old school fucking shorts.
I mean,
nothing.
The old school gym shorts are the fucking worst.
But he had a gun. Like, that was, I mean, obviously he had to show something to even get drafted.
If I was a quarterback or any, I would just do exactly what he does.
Yeah.
Because he's not huge, but he must be doing flexible stuff because the hits he takes.
He took some shots, dude.
Constantly. And he pops back up.
Yeah.
Did he get hit a lot in the Super Bowl?
Oh, my God.
He took that first half.
Dude, number 97, whatever his name was.
They sacked him 5 times.
And they knocked him down a
five
bunch.
Times, yeah, and a ton more. I mean, I have to say, and we kind of been saying it, but like, he handled this thing with such class and such grace.
Yeah.
Never just kept going and fought and fought and fought until he said, you know what? Until I'm not going to fight anymore. It's going to be a distraction. He sat down. He took it and came back.
And every question
and look
he
look what he did. Yeah. He kept going. And why should it be any different? He's been totally
agreed.
Gracious. Look what he did. Goodell gave him the thing, shakes his hand, thank you, and it was genuine.
Yeah.
Because he's tapped into what works.
Totally.
And what is right for him. And it's funny because he doesn't talk about God a lot. You know what I'm saying? Nope. He's not a, but he does have that vibe about him. Like, he's got some sort of spiritual thing to get through that shit.
I think he believes his family. He's strong with his family.
He believes in a family. Yeah. That's kind of his thing. You know what I mean?
You don't think he prays to a picture of himself? Or
he's not Alex Rodriguez, dude.
Yeah.
That dude with his centaur pig. I told you.
That's crazy.
Kissing himself in the mirror
thing.
That's
bonkers. I don't think he's, no.
But that's the difference to me. That's the difference,
also,
right? So the Yankees, when you go to the Yankees, when I say I root hard against the Yankees, always have. I never rooted hard against Jeter. But I rooted hard against A-Rod because to me, that dude was the biggest douche.
That was a clincher, though. Remember Maritek with the glove in the face? And that was a turning
point,
man, that
season.
Can you
imagine if the Sox had fucking picked up Rodriguez? How do you root for that dude if he's on your team?
Oh, man.
I would have had a hard time doing that.
I want to continue on that, but I do just want to read, and I think this plays a point into the comeback, which, I mean, largest comeback in Super Bowl history, right?
Yeah.
Oh, by 15
first
points.
Game, Brady, they have the transcript of his halftime speech, and he says, "We can do this. You guys know who you are. We do it on the field every day. Look each other in the eyes and tell yourself, are you willing to go out there and do for the guy next to you what you've been doing all season long? Let's go out there and grab the Falcons by the pussy." And I think that and then he said, "Let's do it for Trump." And like, so again, I'm wondering at what point...
My
God.
Yeah. You know, people ask me all week, "Do you have a hard time? Do you have a hard time that Brady's a Trump supporter?" I'm like, no.
You don't, do you?
No.
I mean, when you say he's innocent, well, you can't say he's innocent. He's a grown man, but like, he really doesn't care. It's not really, and that could say, well, you can have an opinion against that. You know what I mean? But then,
I also love that he's not incorporating it, you know? He's not like, you know, in the huddle being like, "Down, set, Betsy DeVos, you know, fucking Mike Pence, hut." You know, he's not throwing it in their face.
No.
He had the hat in the background.
Yeah. And, but, you got to think, but then you got to say, buddy, to me, the innocence or the aloof or just not, you know, to put that hat there, it looks very premeditated. But I think, you know, what are the odds, right? He puts the hat.
You're right. He didn't know.
I don't think he knew, but it was just like this.
But don't you have to if you're at that stature?
Stars collide thing, and then, but
that was early on, though, right? That was early.
How many quarterbacks listen to their coach the way he does?
Yeah, not too many. Not superstars.
When are they gonna fire Mike Tomlin? Is what I want to know.
You don't like Mike Tomlin? I love Mike Tomlin.
He's soft, dude.
He's soft.
I don't know. I worked out next to him in a hotel in
soft
Kansas
in the,
City.
In the head, meaning, you know what we used to say. He's soft in the head, meaning he's not very smart.
I think he's great.
Yeah.
Why?
Because if you look at his record, dude, over 10 years,
no.
Two Super Bowls.
No, because they have the talent. Look at the talent. The GM
is
great.
The offense
is amazing.
The team
is great. Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
With that talent, the dude is soft, man. He's got that look on the sidelines like,
oh,
he got the big wide-eyed thing, and he's like, and then he tries to just be like, you know, he's like hard and whatever, and you know what I mean? It's like, it's, and that's why I think Ben was like, I might retire. I think, to me, read between
this
the lines.
No way
is,
he retires.
I want to. No, but he wants a change.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yo, Adam Ray here for the Good Call Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying this episode. And if you're like me, you're probably getting hungry. All this comedy and sports talk is getting me fired up in the stomach region. Well, if you're like me and you can't cook, but you like food and you like to try to cook, then Blue Apron is for you. What is Blue Apron? It's the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S., which means they're able to source the highest quality seafood, beef, chicken, and pork from the most responsibly raised animals on the freaking planet. If you like to cook but don't like to go to the store and don't like to waste all that time measuring all the exact ingredients out, Blue Apron is the exact thing that you need in your life because they ship the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe. So there's no food waste. Cooking together, look, it builds your relationships. It builds your family. It's a lot of fun. It's more fun when you do it with people, and especially with people that don't know what they're doing, because then you can all cook and feel like Wolfgang Puck Jr.'s together. Those who spend a lot at restaurants or high-end grocery stores, you know how exhausting that can be. Well, now you can spend another $10 a person for a delicious meal. Featured upcoming meals for Blue Apron. When you order and sign up now, you could get a cashew chicken stir fry with tango mandarins and jasmine rice, or roasted pork with apple walnut and farro salad, or crispy barramundi with quinoa and roasted carrot salad, or udon noodle soup with miso and soft boiled eggs. It all sounds delicious. That's because it is. Look, I wouldn't tell you about it if I didn't use it. It's the best food delivery service on the planet for a reason, because they allow you to choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or you can let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you, because the recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. You can customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. They also have several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your need. And there's no weekly commitment, so you can get deliveries when you want them, when you want them, when you want them. Make sense? Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, so you feel like a baller. Look, check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping if you go to blueapron.com/goodcall right now and sign up for all this and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping. It can't get better than that. It can if you do it right now. blueapron.com/goodcall. You'll love how it feels, tastes, and you'll start creating incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron with your friends and family. So don't wait. Go to blueapron.com/goodcall. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And now back to the episode with our guest, Joey McIntyre.
I wonder if Tomlin, see, I think Tomlin's record has been, I mean, I don't know. I would bet in the last 10 years, they've got to be in the top five in the league in wins.
But
I would assume.
The first one was Cowher's team.
Yep.
And then the other one, what did they, were in three Super Bowls. They
with Tomlin, won two. I think two with Tomlin, right?
Or oh, three okay, with, right. One with Cowher,
yeah,
and two with Tomlin.
Yeah. Because I think Tomlin did the, didn't he do the Packers Steelers, right? Wasn't that the
he won the first
that was
one,
the one
then,
that
and
I
then,
saw,
and then they beat the Cardinals, I guess, in that epic game. But yeah, I don't know. I guess yeah. So. You are who you are, but to me,
for sure.
And
welcome,
come on, man.
And welcome back.
Do you see him doing the same stuff that, like, even close to what Belichick does?
No.
Now, here's
come
what,
on.
Here's what
no.
I want to ask.
I think he's sort of like, we'll run it or we'll pass it. Like, that's his big thing.
Let me ask you a bigger question. Do you think Rex Ryan ever, like, draws Bill Belichick on his wife's feet and then jerks off on him?
I think so.
For sure. What, you don't?
It's funny. I thought.
What a dumb question. Welcome back to Stupid Questions with Josh Wolf.
That was.
Yeah, man. Of course he does.
I mean, it's like 100%, isn't it?
I didn't want to. Yeah.
I need to know this.
Yeah.
Will you guys defend Belichick and do Patriots?
Oh, I thought
fans?
You meant our championship, yes, and get six next year. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, dude.
Will you defend him how?
What? When I read Brady's dietary game plan, I was like, oh, this guy might play till he's 65.
It's crazy.
Defend Belichick
he
how?
He eats like salmon.
He doesn't drink
and fucking,
in April.
No, I know.
He says, dude, he says crazy. Strawberries are like the devil. He's
tomatoes
like,
aren't good.
His cheat days are like fucking quinoa salad and fucking beaver fucking labia juice. Like he's yeah. like eats
wait,
that.
Wait,
he
where do you get access. That? Is that yeah. at Whole Foods?
Is that like a cream? Is that a
yeah? It's actually, it's Ralph's.
Like, is it, you get it at Ralph's?
Beaver juice.
Six pack or is it like a just a one giant gallon?
Yeah, dude, of course it's a gallon.
It's not
yeah,
a tincture?
You no, you can't
beaver,
buy it. Small.
Do beaver, female beavers have labia?
Wow. Can you guys do your research before you come on this podcast? And come, well, I want to know.
Let me ask you, could you draw me a picture of what a labia looks like?
For sure, but after the show. so I can look it up to see what it looks like. Yeah. So do you guys defend Belichick the same with the same enthusiasm that you do Brady?
What's
because because here's the thing. Look, no. Belichick, all that cheating shit, that's coming from him. Mm. And the guy, yeah, so Brady, you're like...
The tapes and shit? Oh, well, dude. Listen,
see, the guy
Jimmy Johnson said he did the same yeah. freaking thing. Every, you know what I mean? So yeah, they might have taped a practice here or there, and like, so be it.
But I love how casual
but,
that is.
But,
that
was, but like, everybody's done it.
Dude, you might have looked at what they were going to do and then just stopped it during the game.
TeamCheats.com and find how many teams have been caught filming other teams.
Yeah.
Every team does it. And you used the exact term, dude. You said gain an advantage. There's got to be that line between... Look, but you know what?
That's your guys' argument. Is you go, dude, hey, we were just better at fucking Marshall, setting up cameras. We had a better tech guy.
Marshall Faulk explained this the best way. He actually called it gaining an advantage. And he said, everybody in every sport gains an advantage. He said, but if you get caught, tries to gain an advantage, but if you get caught, you got to own up to it. He goes, the best way I can explain it to it is we all speed. But it only counts if you get that ticket. Mm-hmm. And if you get that ticket, you got to pay up. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing.
All right.
So he was like, everybody's trying to gain an advantage in every sport. But if you get caught, you have to own it.
And they did.
And I agree with that.
With picks, with fines.
Yeah, you got to let it
go. Okay, yeah.
You got to let it go.
They still over. Have to pay $1 million fine.
And a first round
pick. There's a pick. And we still won.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really great.
Now, on the other side, I mean, I will say that, like, I don't think Patriots fans love Belichick's press conferences either. I mean, we'd like to get a little something, too, but
sometimes they're funny.
He doesn't care.
Did you see him on The Tonight Show do just an obvious, like, homophobic handjob joke with Edelman?
No.
That was so weird.
What'd he do?
Fallon's like, do you guys... First of all, Fallon's interview was just, like, weird, and, like, you can tell, like, Jimmy, I love you, man, and, like, for sure come on the podcast if you want to, but... You don't know much about sports. He was asking, he's like, do you guys like, he's like, Belichick, do you like look at the coaches in the eye like before the game? Like, I just sat on the sidelines and you're always like, and you're like I want to win. And then I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then he goes, do you guys like do any pregame stuff? And Belichick is like, oh, we like meditate and stuff. Or no, Jimmy goes, do you like meditate and whatever? And he goes, yeah, we like do like kumbaya. And he grabs Edelman's hand and then does a straight up and down jerk off motion and goes, and then looks at Edelman the same way you would look at your buddy in high school and be like, because if we were gay, it'd be funny with that type of a look. And then it was just
so
weird.
So he fake jerked off Edelman on TV?
Yeah, dude. Look it up.
I'll go to
yourteamcheese.com, but then you need to go to youtube.com and search for Belichick mime hand job.
Listen, that just tells me he's a good coach.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, he's just gay.
And then Edelman goes, that's the first time he's ever touched me.
With my clothes on.
Did he say that?
He did, yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. Funny. Yeah.
He saved him? He saved him.
Yeah, he did.
Who do you think?
You want your coach to have personality. And unfortunately, like, when you get accused of shit like that and you look the part, it's like, you know, if your coach was,
plus he's an asshole at the press conferences.
Who's,
if you're from any other, rooting for any other team, even the Boston sports writers, I mean, he gives them nothing.
No, nothing. But nothing. He's like Popovich. Who's leading a better life right now? Now, just let's all put our, you and I will put our single hats on.
Okay, yeah.
Who's leading a better life, Edelman or Gronk?
Oh, man, that's a dead heat.
I know, isn't it? Last year I would have said Gronk for sure. But Edelman, no matter what the weather, he's got those guns just piping out of his shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's dating Adrian Lima or something.
What?
Yeah.
Is that Jeter's ex?
Yeah, one of them. Have you seen Jeter's starting nine?
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
You should Google Jeter's starting nine ex-girlfriends. And they put them in batting order, and they put them on the field.
Oh, Jesus.
It's the craziest. Yeah. I mean, you put it up against a bunch.
I remember when I first moved to L.A., Minka Kelly.
Yes.
Was like, I was sort of like friend of a friend. She was like hanging out in the same. It was the first summer I got here. And geez Louise, I mean, this was before she even...
Friday Night Lights?
Yeah, it was like a year before that or whatever, and no surprise there. So she must be in the top
she's,
nine.
They were almost
engaged or something.
Yeah, that starting lineup, though, is like...
Is he married now?
Yes, I think he did. Yeah. Are you reading the...
Here it is.
Okay.
In left field, Mariah Carey. In center field, Jessica Alba. In right field, Jessica Biel.
I mean,
wow.
at third base, Vanessa Manillo. Shortstop, Scarlett Johansson. Second base, Adriana Lima. First base.
I'm stuck at shortstop. Fuck. I just got beaned off the head. I'm just Oh, man.
First base?
First base. Whoopi Goldberg.
Fuck you. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah. First base, Jordana Brewster.
That's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
Designated hitter. This is crazy. This might be the, like, I mean, Tyra Banks.
Wow. Humding.
Behind the plate, Minka Kelly. Yeah. And on the mound, I don't know who this is. Hannah Davis?
Oh, yeah. Google that. You're telling me, is there a better starting nine than that?
That's amazing.
Dude. Maybe Timberlake?
Listen.
Now, we should look up, like, Detlef Schrempf's starting nine.
You know? Yeah, it'll be like Olga Svensson.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. But, you know, Olga had her time.
Tony, who works the counter at the HEB.
Wow, for sure. He had a phase. He had a phase with the deli guy at Gelson's. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Marianne, who cuts the fries at Dick's.
Yeah, those players definitely, I mean, you can tell that, like, Gronk is living his life to the fullest.
Remember, what was it, 2 years ago with the chick who took a selfie of fucking Edelman sleeping?
Yeah.
That's bad form.
Wow.
Bad form.
Dumb.
Yeah, that's bad form.
I mean, but that's expected. You know what I mean? Today, in this day and age, they don't get it.
How lucky are you that there were no phones in the pockets on the tour?
Do you ever think
about that?
Yeah.
Would it have changed?
Would it have changed
your tours? You think?
I'm just, when I think of lucky, I think of, like, and we all have, like, how stupid we were, like, partying and maybe you know, getting in a car afterwards, that kind of shit.
When
we were like 16, 17, like, wow, I hope, like, kids don't do that, like, nowadays or whatever. It's like, but yeah, I mean, you know, people say that, but here's the deal. Here's the trade-off. It's like, if you messed up back then, you were on the cover of the Inquirer for like a month.
Yes.
You mess up now, it's news for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody sees it, but on to the next.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a trade-off. You know what I mean? It's not like it's, you know.
As a Boston sports fan, who is, I'm always curious, because right now we have a lot of choices. Mm. Who's on your Mount Rushmore?
Oh, Bird. I mean, Bird.
Great question.
I grew up in, I mean, Bird.
So Bird over, for me, Bird over Russell, too. So who's on your top four?
I know, yeah. Oh, that's a great one. I mean,
because we have some choices. My dad, like, I picked Poppy over Ted Williams. My dad picks Ted Williams. Like, right? But for me, the Red Sox didn't win any World Series under Ted Williams. So I don't know how you put anyone over Pop.
But does it have to be out of the four sports?
Pick whatever you want. Pick whatever you want for sports.
Bird. Brady, of course.
Parrish,
Poppy. Over.
Does anybody pick Parrish?
No.
And that should be a documentary.
Just got friends who like to smoke weed.
Yeah. No.
The Chief.
Bird. I think Bird, Brady. You got to put Orr, and I wasn't even, you know, just because, like, Bobby Orr.
100, and that's, you know, before, I mean, our time.
I'd like to
too.
Say Neely. I'd like to say Ken Neely, but almost.
Got
to
put Orr.
And that's the sad truth about his career. He was so good, but the injuries. But you got to put Orr, even though I was, you know, four or five when he was playing. And then the fourth, I guess it would have to be a Red Sox. And then, I mean, I love my Poppy, but I would go
Scalabrine?
I would go with Petey, with Pedro.
You go Pedro?
Wow, that's a great pick.
Over Poppy?
Oh, yeah. You have to. That's a
How? You know why? How? I'm going to be perfectly honest, bro. I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Don't make me turn this table over.
I'm not going
Poppy's
to.
Poppy's a homie of his.
No, I know. No. I'm going to move on from that because I don't want, you know. I think, I don't know, man. Pedro was just, he changed the game.
He did,
He came along. Not only did he change the game, he changed the climate for the Red Sox. That dude was an assassin. A 5'9"
100%
assassin,
130 pounds,
balls of a fucking bull.
Here's the thing: you will see, and
balls
you have,
of a bull. He would fucking point to the Yankees
and throw to their head.
And point to the,
he
who
fought
does that?
Their hitting coach,
Don
live
Zimmer.
On
he threw the gerbil
mound.
To the ground.
Not just any hitting coach,
Don Zimmer, who used to coach the Sox,
who's on the fucking coaching.
Which, by the way,
Rushmore,
shout out to Don Zimmer and his family for just allowing that to happen.
For me, what puts Poppy on that Mount Rushmore, this is our fucking city.
Yeah.
As soon as he said that, I was like,
But
Poppy!
Look, there have been hitters like Poppy, pre-Poppy and post-Poppy. There will never be another Pedro. And when you're right, when he came and what he did for baseball, and at that time when pitchers were, it was kind of a pitcher's game.
Dude.
And nobody.
5'9".
Yeah.
That
dominant for that long.
Never took a
in
fucking
the steroid.
Steroid in his
the
life.
Steroid era. Yep. And he dominated.
In the steroid era, next to, like, you know,
Juan Gonzalez, you know, Griffey.
Dude,
but you're asking
Palmeiro,
me.
Canseco.
There's two questions. You're at, do Comey. I think? Do I think? Pedro,
but not only was he throwing to those guys, but he wasn't taking them himself.
Yeah. And he was pitching in the American League East, which is a fucking brutal.
Oh my god!
But I will. If you're asking me who was a better baseball player, I say Pedro was a better baseball player. He dominated his position in a time when no pitcher was dominating.
Yeah.
If you're asking me who was more important to Boston sports, I go Poppy all day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just a stamp in the community.
I hear you, man.
Wow, no Pokey Reese,
I hear
huh?
you. You know what?
Oh,
you
Pokey
know,
Reese, maybe. Denny
hitter,
Doyle.
The designated hitter thing. Yeah. I know he's just a pitcher. He played every day, but I really just want to see, like, those Jerry curls, like, etched out in the stone of Mount Rushmore. You know what I'm saying?
So good. We got about 10 minutes left.
Hey,
I want to talk about the show.
Yeah.
This will come out before that comes out.
That's right.
You guys have a show coming out.
We have a show.
I'm on his show. It's his show. And then... Return of the Mac is the name
right.
of it.
See that? It's my fucking show. Don't you ever forget
dude.
It.
Hey, dude.
However, you stole said show. So, you know what I mean?
No.
It is my show, but you stole it, and you're going to be the guy who's,
he's
you know,
a funny fucker. This guy.
Dude, it was in my contract. I said, if we're going to do this, he's got to be. I mean, dude, you.
By the way, those clips of you guys on the boat are so great. The clips of you dressed up are so great. And do you, I didn't know you improvised.
Oh, he's incredible, dude.
Like, I was,
we're gonna try, we're gonna,
enjoy
we're gonna,
I was impressed, dude, because a lot of times
he did about 5 minutes of stand up pre that.
You did?
Oh, yeah, dude. He's a comic at heart for sure.
About sucking cock too.
Yeah. And it crushed.
Which I never.
Tucking
I
or sucking? Did you say tucking?
No, sucking cock.
Sucking.
The idea of it.
Yeah.
And how, you know, it's like, what's the big deal? Right? It's just skin. You know what I mean? I've seen the dudes talk about crazy, even if you think it's like nasty or whatever, like dudes are nasty.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about crazy stuff, you know what I mean? Sexually. So what's the big deal? You know what I mean? But it's unfortunately people have literally died to suck cock. You know what I'm saying? People are still getting thrown off buildings. That's the reason why it's so taboo, right? For a lot of reasons. But now, thankfully, you know, because otherwise, I said, like, if I was born 20 years later, I probably would have sucked the cock. But it's so polarizing. It all started with it's so polarizing.
Yeah,
you know, because, you know, and then the punchline is you suck one cock, they call you a cocksucker. You know what I mean?
And it's really, one cock doesn't make it a pattern.
No, exactly.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Kind of unfair to be labeled.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, we're not there yet, right?
No.
We are not there yet as a society.
Yeah. You
know?
And now the ship has sailed. You know what I mean? I can't be like, honey, no, I'm not cheating. I'm just sucking cock.
Yeah, it's
you
a
know?
Side dick.
Yeah.
Some people side
got
dick.
Some people got side chicks. I got a side dick. You created and helped write the show.
Yeah.
And I want to know.
You know the name.
Return of the Mac.
Return of the Mac.
Dude, it's a great name. Love it.
Thanks. I was a little, you know, because I'm like, well, it's not a return. I've been around and I kind of kicked and screamed. And I was like, oh, I don't have a say. And the, you know, network's like, not really.
It's actually a great name.
It is cool.
Yeah.
It is cool.
It's
I had
got
to step
more
back. Because every
to
time
it,
I, yeah.
Then Joey Mac Project.
Yeah.
Which is also dope.
That was cool. That was fun. I wasn't trying to fall on the sword for that one either. But so Return of the Mac, and it's great. It's funny. I mean, as you can
tell Josh about what.
Well, it's just basically, you know, it's, I guess I say it's Curb meets Parenthood meets episodes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's just about me, you know, being a family man, but wanting to get out of the house, wanting to, you know, a job, and wanting that next gig. And, you know, it sort of plays on the fact that, like, I want to be a serious actor, but I'm only getting hosting gigs or reality show gigs. And Adam plays my crazy manager, agent wannabe. And he's like trying to talk me into all these fucking things. Meanwhile, saying, you know, if we do this, you know, I could fucking, you know, pay for that gazebo I always wanted to fucking buy.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that he slides in.
He's just kind of a sleazy dude, but like does his job well enough. And then we have this like history as friends. So Joe feels bad about cutting me loose.
And
everybody plays themselves in the cameos.
Well, you don't play yourself. I mean,
the guest stars.
We got great. I mean, two guys from NSYNC came on and hilarious.
Donnie Wahlberg. And can you even mention some of the other ones or no? Are you trying to keep it?
Jenny McCarthy. McCarthy and Donnie, they play like, he plays my consigliere like over the phone.
Right.
Because like, I'm always, Donnie, what am I going to do? And he gives me these goofy fucking one-liners.
It's funny.
Can and you then, mention?
There's one I can't mention. Yeah. So, but January Jones.
Dude, big time, huh?
You don't want to talk about Trump coming on quite yet?
Nah.
Okay. Wait, Kellyanne Conway.
Hilarious.
Dave Koechner.
I mean, he's so funny.
He's the only really famous person that played a character. He's so fucking
Tell him a story with January Jones, though, how you got her on.
Oh, I mean, it was like, you know, art imitating life or whatever. But I saw her. Well, she came to a New Kids concert a few years ago, and she was pregnant. She was pregnant with her baby. And at the time, no one knew who the dad was and the whole thing. You know,
yeah,
thing
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Know, and she wasn't saying anything. And she, but she has a sense of humor about it. She was like, so she comes on, she's pregnant, and she had a Joey Girl shirt on with a big, you know, belly.
Come on.
She said, I was going to put an, you know, arrow down to my crotch, you know what I mean? As a Joey Girl, like, you know, it's my baby.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, hey, that's funny. Yeah. So as I'm trying to compose myself backstage. And so she, so anyways, I hadn't seen her, but as I'm putting the show together, I'm pitching the show. It, you know, and as ideas come, they just get build more, and they, you know, they get better, hopefully, and they get richer. And I was like, but it was always about, I don't want to do this talk show. The Comfy Channel, this network is called the Comfy Channel, and they offer me a talk show, and I'm like, I don't want to do it. And Adam's like, you got to do it. And anyways.
Well, I'll do it a little funnier, but
you gotta do it. I can't do it. And so, and they said no, and I'm like repeating all his lines. I can't do it. So January Jones is, I'm like, I'll get her to do this pilot, like a mini pilot, right? I'm gonna bump into her. I don't want to do the talk show, but then I bump into her, and she's gonna tell me, hey, you'd be great at that, right? Or she makes me rethink about it. Like, I'm like, no. But January Jones says it's a great idea. And suddenly I turn on a dime, right? Any guy would, right? So that was the idea. So I'm like, all right. It was always in my mind. So I'm down in Santa Monica, which I'm not in Santa Monica very often. I'm at a restaurant that that my wife and I used to love to go to. It's like a Houston's. It's down here. It's like a nice chain, but really good food. And it's 11:30, and I'm like, maybe I'll go over there. So I walk over, and in this little vestibule, like the doors aren't open yet, is January Jones and her son, and like a babysitter. And I'm like, well, you know, and I'm just about to, you know, write it and the whole thing. And but I play it cool because I don't go, you know, I had an idea. Oh my God, it's so crazy because, oh my God. And remember when you said, I was so proud of myself.
It's coming full 360.
And I'm like, I'm like, hey, what's going on? Good to see you. Anyway, so at the time, because I was down on the beach, whatever, I had a black tank top on, right? Like a, you know, a Gap or like a Hanes, you know, whatever. But it was black. It wasn't like I was fucking, you know, Sonny Corleone or anything like that. It was decent, right? So, and we're shooting the shit, and the door, and finally the door opens, and they let us in, and they go, oh, I'm sorry, you need a shirt to come in here, you know, because it's just fancy enough, they didn't want the tank top.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no, it's okay. We have shirts, so they give me like this new black t-shirt, you know? And she goes and sits at the table, and I sit at the bar, oh, good to see you, whatever. She goes, I can't wait to see the tour. We had a tour coming up. And okay, good, whatever. And like I sat at the bar, and I was like so proud of myself that I didn't like go that do that whole spiel. Like, could you, would you, whatever. And I waited, and like Donnie, who's one of the executive producers, you know, ended up, we wrote an email, and she said, sure, I'll do the presentation, whatever. But anyways, part of that story is she told that complete story on Conan O'Brien. And of course, Conan had a field day with it. You know what I mean? You know, he's like, you know, and acted like he didn't know who we were, you know, that old thing. He's from Boston, you know what I mean? But so she stepped up. I mean, you get January Jones in the pilot. Dude, that was a big man.
Big
and then she comes back, and you know, in the end too, and saves the day.
Let me ask you, when you're at a concert now and a girl comes up with a Joey's Girl t-shirt but she's pregnant, is the first thing you think, motherfucking concerts have changed?
Our kids have fans just like us, you know, which is good. You know, hopefully they'll brainwash the next generation into.
How many, like, if you guys went on a tour right now, How many tickets are you selling at a place? Just out of curious.
No, we're doing arenas, man. Like we're selling out arenas.
Is that mind-boggling to you?
Yo, the Mohegan Sun thing. We just both did Mohegan Sun comics, just the comedy club there, right? And I saw you guys are coming through there. I mean, that's like
Sun. We're playing the Hollywood Bowl here. We play the Garden. We're playing. We sold out Fenway Park.
I know. So when I see that, is that still mind-boggling to you?
Are you kidding me?
Because you know what? Listen, I went to Desert Trip this summer. And saw the Stones and the Who. And what really dawned on me was for 50 years, these six bands have been selling at least 50,000 tickets a night. For 50 years.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind. I'm like, that is so fucking crazy. But you guys were talking about going on 30 years, right?
Well, we took off like 15 years, which was, you know, you always say, how do you do it? But the big part of the equation is to take 15 years off first. And then come back. Our fans were ready, right? Our age group, you look back with nostalgia and an open heart, and you want to get away and relive those memories. And we give them the time of their fucking life. And we know how lucky we are. And, you know, we take what we do seriously. We don't take ourselves too seriously. And
who's huffing and puffing the most after the dance routines?
I want to say John, but that motherfucker will flip a house and rip a fucking kitchen out in fucking 2 hours.
Really?
So he's the man's man. But we're all, you know, we do it right. We don't kill ourselves, and we have a great choreographer that makes us, you know.
I want to get a few more things about the show before we wrap this up. This was your first like endeavor of, I mean, you've been on the McCarthy's and a bunch of shows, but like this was your first baby where it was like, I mean, I remember you telling me from the get-go of like just the early inceptions of it, and then to like getting the pilot and then going back and forth with the network, Pop TV, which is a new network. They have Schitt's Creek on with Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, and I just saw another comedy coming out. They're really trying to be like a Starz FX, like, you know.
And it's a CBS Lionsgate partnership, so they got some stuff behind them,
And but it was, you know, to like write and produce and then act in, it was like, hey, wearing a lot of hats, which was
and
new.
Now I have a pinched nerve. I'm sick as a dog. It's like, you know.
But I want to know, because, you know, Josh had his own talk show, and I want to know, and that was, I mean, for both you guys to be at the helm like that, like, I want to hear from both sides, like, just how the positives, the negatives, the stresses you didn't anticipate, the things you felt like you got out of it, that you're like, oh, now I'm a better everything.
It's, I mean, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm super grateful for the opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of people in this town that want to make TV shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we got to do that.
Yeah.
And it's a good one.
It's a great show.
And we didn't, like, slap it together. I mean, not a huge budget, but, you know, it was like real writers and direct, you know, DGA, WGA. Well, this wasn't a, you know.
Also, I will say, too, for you, like, for a first time producing and all that, like, the way we kept talking about this throughout the process, like, the way you would balance, like, when for you to, like, put your foot down on things and speak up, but, like, you were so involved in the writing stuff, which I thought was, like, dope and so necessary, because you do have such a good comedy brain, and it was like, and this is your show, and you, and all the stories, you wanted to have a hand in them, but at the same time, too, what was great for me was that, like, you were like, yo, like, these are the moments when you can, like, play around and be Adam. But then also, like, for the sake of story, like, and it was, and obviously having a built-in rapport helps when you're like, yo, man, just, like, reel it in for this because it needs to be like this. And I was like, oh, fuck, I love that you just had such an overall view of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, you you had from the get-go, but then as the process went on, you just acquire even more confidence to...
I felt proud to finish the project, and it's that one or two compliments you get from the crew or whatever, you know what I mean? It's so corny, but like...
No, that's huge.
It really is, you know what I mean? And I mean, thank God, I wish we could let you go more. It was just that we didn't have time. But believe me,
there were times
in post, it was like, fuck, I wish we let him fucking go. But
no, but there was enough.
Unbelievable. Yeah. No, and it's cool, man. I mean, honestly, though, it's been...
And his kids got to be in it.
It's been challenging to deal with everybody's got an opinion because they're paid to have an opinion.
You also learn... For me, I guess I never knew what my leadership style was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? You don't know until you're afforded the opportunity to where you're like, oh, the fucking everything comes through me.
Is it almost like you're emulating what you think a director, producer should do?
So I always, you know, I had a chance to work for some pretty not powerful, but some pretty strong people, mm-hmm. you know. And the two people that I watched, I would watch, you know, I worked with Chelsea forever. And then I worked with a guy named Greg Garcia, who created My Name is Earl and Raising Hope and mm-hmm. Yes, Dear. And I've been on all those shows. And it's always struck me that every time I walked on his set, everybody was so fucking happy. Mm. It was trickle down. Mm. It's all trickle down.
Yeah.
And so for me, what I found my leadership style was, I wanted everyone to have a little bit of ownership. Mm-hmm. Like, we'd be in a writer's room, and there, people would have a different idea than me, and I go, well, let's do yours.
Yeah.
And because I never wanted anyone to feel stupid pitching somebody.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
That, you never want to stifle the creativity. And I wanted them to know, if best idea wins, and if I think your idea is better than mine, that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
And so I learned very early on, like, I wanted you to feel confident enough where you didn't have to run every little thing past me.
Yeah.
That I was empowering you. The reason I hired you to do your job is because you're good at your job.
Yeah.
Mm.
And please do your job.
Yeah.
And that's the way I chose to do things. Because honestly, I don't know how to do a whole fuck lot. Do you know what? Yeah. I couldn't pretend like, oh, I know how to do that, because I don't fucking know how to line produce.
Plus, you gotta perform.
I gotta be funny.
Yeah, and that's the most important, right? So you can only have so much energy. You gotta put most of your energy into that.
Because
if that ain't right,
and you have to trust other people.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, the biggest thrill for me was hiring my friends and family.
Yeah.
It was so fun to go to work every day and be like, I fucking know you.
Yeah.
I like you.
Yeah.
And that was the big...
It does seem like...
The biggest bummer for me was when my show got canceled, I felt responsible for their paychecks. That was honestly, if I'm being honest, my biggest... I was like, oh, I felt bad that I somehow felt responsible that their paychecks weren't coming next week.
Yeah.
That was my biggest regret.
Yeah.
Well,
hopefully, you know.
Well, this show right here, we'll. You guys.
No, but I mean, Adam stepped up big time. Jamie Dembo, who's.
You had a great cast. I saw your cast.
Unbelievable. Cast, and they stepped up. They were, you know.
Yeah.
I think it was good stuff.
Yeah, dude.
You know, it was good stuff.
When does it premiere?
It was well written. April 12th.
Yeah.
Katie Wee plays this. I mean, Jamie Dembo has to play this nut like head of a network.
She crushes it.
And keep it real. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, so she's in a class by herself. And then we got Poonam Patel, who's hilarious. God bless.
Super funny.
So funny.
Yeah.
Like, dude, super funny.
All day long.
Yeah.
All day long. And then Katie Wee was just like, I didn't know how. I mean, on set she was great, but then you see her on camera, and you're like, "Whoa,
yeah, okay." Stunning.
And I'm not even talking about her looks. Her looks are phenomenal.
Yeah. Sharp
but
actor.
You're actually, she's so good, you forget how good looking she is.
Yep.
Like at the same time.
Yep.
I'll tell you something about you, dude. Is when I go back and listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
You sneak funny shit in.
I know.
Like the word, just the word gazebo, that you would use that word, right?
Yeah.
You sneak shit in where I listen back, I'm like, oh, that was fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like, and you do it in such an honest, just straightforward way that it's like with a show like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
he does some funny shit, dude.
Well, thankfully, it was too. I mean, the part was so like a version of myself, but then like not like a little heightened up. But
how do you think I feel, dude?
Yeah,
it's like you know, it's like,
and you're a Jew. You play an agent. That's like perfect.
Exactly. Stretch. Yeah.
I mean, we work with those stereotypes, you know. We don't want to let go of that stuff.
No,
you were open to that.
Yeah.
All right. So April 12th, and then the tour is going to start when?
Beginning of May, May 10th or something in Ohio, when we go to
New Kids, Paul Abdul, Boys to Men.
Yeah,
New Kids headlining.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm going to put it together, but we're not going to have those guys.
My wife and I have already talked about going. I may skip Paula Abdul.
Hey,
no, you can't, dude.
No.
Your wife won't want to. I mean, she thinks whatever, and then she starts, you know, hearing the songs from way back when. Oh my god!
Straight up. Now I'll tell you how I really want.
You go get me a beer. I'm fine.
If the fucking cartoon cat is there, there.
I know.
I just want to. I don't want to hear her music, but I wouldn't mind hearing her talking to the microphone.
I know.
Have you already talked and worked with? I mean,
she's been a sweetheart with us. I mean,
she's super nice, by the way.
I think, you know, it's been literally 25 years since she's toured.
Yeah.
But she looks great.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to be phenomenal. And,
it's a great combo. People,
I mean, it's a big night. There's a lot of hit records in one night.
Fuck yeah.
And
hit we just after bring the hit.
Yeah, no. We're going to.
The other tours have been. The first one I went on the year we met was you guys, 98 Degrees and Boys to Men.
That was phenomenal.
And that was incredible, too. And, I mean,
but
like,
98 Degrees had been broken up. So for their fans, it was great. And
I think Paula Abdul, though, is a bigger get and a bigger, like, that's...
Yeah, I mean, right? she had a bigger career than 98 Degrees.
Also, she hasn't toured in forever, right?
Yeah.
So there's
nostalgia. Are we going to go to that show?
1,000%. I'm going to try to go to as many shows as I can, dude. They're so fucking fun.
We should definitely go.
Also, it's crazy. You know, not only do you guys just crush it, but it's like, dude, it's really inspiring to see your buddies at such a high level. I mean, like, vocally still crush it and moving around, and like, obviously that makes me feel bad about, like, you know, the type of shape I'm in. I'm like, so I see Joe moving around like that, take his shirt off. I'm like, I gotta get a Bowflex, but like, whatever.
Bowflex.
Oh my god.
But it's no, dude.
Thighmaster.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
All the 80s classics.
Nordic Track.
And also
Shake Weight.
And fucking shake weight.
Top five. top five. Exercise equipment. Yeah.
But seeing, like, also the fans, like, that shit is... I mean, the cruises are one thing, but then the concerts, like...
The crowd is... Like, if you're not a fan, a New Kids fan, and you're just like, oh, yeah, I remember them, and you come along, it's a great night. And then you see the audience and the way they react because it's just one big party.
Dude,
it's good time.
I went and saw them in San Diego, and this woman, drunk woman, like... dude, this... And what was so great about it is
that,
like...
She came on stage,
you
right?
guys are so real on stage and fun and joking around. She came on stage... And then tried to get up, like, and she came up and she put her arm around you, and Joe doesn't even flinch. He just fucking, like, puts his arm around her and goes, hey, what's up? Like, mid-song, or no, it was, you know, in between a song when they were doing some, there's some instrumentals playing, and they're doing some, like, you know, you guys have a good time, and blah, blah, blah.
Because it's like, in the round, we had this long stage, and so she comes up one, like, you know, big walkway, and we're all just like, whatever. And then she, like...
You could have freaked out, because you don't know what she's going to do.
But it's, we love that shit, right? You want to mix it up, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like doing stand-up if something happens. Yeah, right, you're like, thank you, you know. So, but then she walked off the stage.
Yeah,
literally, she thought the stage was still gonna go.
She walked off the stage.
Yeah. So Joey gives her a moment, and then he's like, "All right, blah blah blah, like you're great, and this and that." And then she was so hammered, like, and then the security, and she just face planted.
Yeah.
And the best was, from my view, seeing the fall. It was a classic comedy fall.
Yeah.
But then also, Joe watched her fall. Joe was like, "All right, great, thanks for being here. Like, give her a round of applause." And then she falls, and then Joe just straight up like. Oh shit! Like, dude, you can't fake your face. You were like, oh man.
But yeah, she was sort of, kind of from a distance. I caught. Yeah, I was like, whoa. Yeah,
dude. Those moments. I mean, that's worth price of admission. All right, April 12th, Pop TV tour. I guess just Google New Kids tour and go enjoy yourselves.
Let's give them the questions.
Give
them the questions.
We end every pod with 10 questions. And dude, great. I almost forgot about this.
Yeah.
All right.
Make sure we get that.
What if they were all Pat's questions?
You must say, you know Paul Hughes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys probably know a lot of the same
people. Do you know a guy, a Boston comic, who maybe only people in Boston know? Do you know a guy named Paul D'Angelo? You know Lenny Clark?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, by the way, you know, when's the last time you saw Lenny? He's not in his sweatpants stage anymore. You remember when he used to be like 380 pounds?
Did you see the bit before the game?
He's
about Brady, people loving Brady.
Nah.
Oh, it was on Fox too, yeah.
Lenny's jacked.
Jacked?
Lenny, well, listen, we were bound at Poppy's golf tournament in the Dominican in December. Yeah. Lenny's got a six-pack.
I haven't got to that yet. Every time I get that invitation, I'm like, oh, man.
Dude, it's so much fun. Are you kidding? It is so much fun. I know. Past year was amazing. Damn. Do you golf?
Enough, yeah.
Me too. I'm terrible.
Yeah.
But it's a good time. Oh, and God. Bobby Orr was down there this year.
Crazy.
You know, and just to kind of... And Pedro's down there, and I still geek out a little bit around Pedro.
Yeah, come on,
do you know what
man.
I mean? How could I... I brought my son this year.
Nice. How old are your kids?
My son who went with me is 19, right?
Wow.
He stepped off the plane... And he goes, hey, we're in the Dominican now? And I go, yeah. And he just screams at the sky, I can fucking drink here!
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Shit is about to... Oh. Wow. He gave me... There was a couple of moments over the weekend, a couple of I love you, man moments. He was like, I just wanted to let you know, I love you, man. I'm like, is that where we are?
Wow.
That's where we are. Okay.
I'm dang.
Yeah. All right, here we go. First question. Childhood nickname.
Ooh. Fuck. Not great. I mean, Donnie was really, I mean, when he gives you a nickname, it sticks. You know what I mean? So I was Joe Bird for a while because he said I look like a little wet baby bird. Backstage once. I took it very personally, but it stuck.
Tupac or Jay-Z?
Jay-Z.
Yeah. Sport you wish you could have gone pro at?
Shit. I'd probably say basketball because, you know, I don't have to get hit. I couldn't swing a bat. I got no bat speed. You know what I mean? But I can go to my left. So
How's your jump shot?
Fine.
I mean, koozie it up.
It's whatever. You know, I can go to my left, so I surprise people for about 10 minutes, and then they catch on. You know.
And then you call for a sub.
Yeah.
Best show on TV right now.
Right now? God, I hate saying it, but I don't watch a lot of fucking TV.
Out of the stuff that you watch.
Return of the Mac?
I know, Return of the Mac. I'm glad there's no fucking clock ticking right now. Let me think about this.
You could even say 30 for 30. I consider that to be a TV show.
Or you could say, I mean, show that you enjoy watching if it's on. Or
no,
that you'll,
I know. I'm fucking trying. I really don't fucking watch TV, but I'm trying to think of like what I watch that's really good.
Yeah, favorite cartoon with your kids.
Fucking Fuller House, man. I cried on that first episode.
There
I'm telling you.
You guys are going to be on it.
Well, we were on this season, yeah. So they love Fuller House, and it's funny. It's that old school, funny, stupid, great shit. Yeah,
perfect.
Favorite quote from an athlete, and we extend it to.
It's in a class by itself. This is our fucking city. Yeah. You know. But what do you say?
That's my favorite too.
Cedric Maxwell comes to mind. Yeah! You know what I mean? Like get on my back, and I'm a take you to the championship. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. He said something.
Cornbread.
Like Cornbread, exactly.
Favorite comedian? And, you know, I mean, this is...
Present company excluded?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Favorite comedian? Fucking A.
Were you a Stephen Wright guy growing up at all?
You gotta love that. The bowling ball thing. You know what I mean? He does the bowling ball.
That's a loaded question. I mean, like, whose favorite is tough? There's so many.
Comedian?
It's one of the first ones you know...
Jeez Louise. I mean, I know it's crazy, but who comes to mind? And he's like, just that the karaoke car shit, the James Corden. He's so fucking quick, man.
Yeah.
That dude on his feet is like, and he learns all those fucking songs. I mean, I know that's not really funny, but like.
They got to get like, you as on far that as like, to promote the show.
Yeah, we got
to.
And he does such a great British accent.
I know.
It's crazy. It sounds like he's from there.
I've never watched any, but most people just see that and they don't watch the show.
That's kind of how I do it.
He's quick.
I used to love Colbert. I haven't watched his show as much, but you know, when the Colbert Report was like, I could watch that all day.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Favorite venue to see a sports game?
Oh, Fenway. Come on.
Yeah.
Jeez,
easy.
Have
you sat up on the Monster?
Not for a game, but I've been up there, and yeah,
it's fun for a game.
Yeah,
it is a lot of fun.
I sang on top of the Monster. I mean, I'm fucking up.
I mean, you know, here I am. You ever seen a game? I sang up there once.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry,
well,
dude. I know, dude. It's obnoxious.
Man, hey, when you live a cool life, you gotta talk about it.
It's obnoxious. With my son in my arms, but it's nothing.
Oh my God.
So you just 30,000 people looking at me, you go ahead. You watched a game up there? That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Shotgun a beer or take a Jaeger bomb?
Jaeger bomb.
Yeah, for sure. Karaoke go to?
A Tiny Dancer.
Fuck yeah.
Have you ever sung your own song karaoke?
Nah, that's no fun.
Do you know, there's somebody who did in Nashville, there's a place called Santa's Pub, and it's like a double wide trailer, and you smoke cigarettes inside. But the rumor, we had walked in one day, and somebody was like, oh, you just missed Steven Tyler. I'm like, oh, fuck, because he lives down there. God. I'm like, what are you singing? And they were like, Dream On. I'm like, are you allowed to do that? Mm. But, do you know what I mean? Like, we already know you're Steven Tyler, dude. Do you know what I mean? Like, You got to sing Dream On?
Right.
We get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I asked.
I mean, if I was Steven Tyler, I'd probably sing Dream On too.
Wherever I went.
Yeah.
I'd walk into fucking Chipotle and be like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I saw something. I forget what show it was, but Jewel like put on like a prosthetic nose or whatever and went in to like a bar like that, karaoke, and sang.
Yeah. Did you see Jewel and I singing on my talk show?
No.
We sang some Backstreet Boys. I did a segment on my show called The Guilty Pleasure Song. And so a musician would come on. Lance Bass came on, actually. Uh-huh. And they get to pick whatever was their guilty pleasure song.
Yeah.
And Jewel told me she'd always wanted to be in a boy band.
Yeah.
So we picked That Way by the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
And she and I got down. She can sing.
Yeah.
I mean, her voice is like
yodel, right? She fucking yodels.
Her voice was like, are you singing with me? I'm like, I don't think I should.
Yeah.
Because my voice is going to be right next to yours, right?
Right,
yeah,
right.
That seems like a really bad idea for me.
She, you know, it's funny, like in our in careers, like we can also, why, you know, when you say like, you know, like people have said that to me before, like probably, I mean, I guess I finally did it, but like, why aren't you doing more? You know what I'm saying? You know that thing? You're like, well, I could. You want me to go blow by blow? You know what I mean? Let's start with 80% of the stuff out there is fucking crap. And I guess I'm lucky enough that I, you know, whatever. And fucking the other 20%, I fucking blew it. You know what I mean? And then you get lucky and whatever. But like, Jewel, I don't know what she's doing, but to me, she's super talented.
Yeah.
And should be fucking. She Dude. Should be a rock star. And she's sort of like, what
her,
the fuck?
Her book last. She put out a book last year.
Yeah.
I couldn't put it down. And she went on. She went on tour with that book.
Okay.
But have you ever seen her live? Like she doesn't. She doesn't want you singing along. She doesn't want you clapping.
I dig
she,
that.
She'll tell you straight up.
She's like, "Yo, and if I'm Jewel.
I'm Jewel.
You're not Jewel.
And if you like Don't scream sing. During her show, she'll stop and be like, "Hey, this is your shot." Or else you're going, you're out.
Wow.
She doesn't want you clapping along. She doesn't want you singing.
And there's your answer.
She's like, yo, my hands
there's your fucking
are
answer.
Not my own.
I hope that's okay.
But she, her book, I'm telling you right now, her book, this book, I couldn't. Do you know her story? Do you know how poor she grew up?
Yeah. It's the coffee houses.
Living on the street in San Diego.
Yeah.
And the way she met her best friend was she was hitchhiking across in Alaska. And the guy picked her up and was like, why are you hitchhiking alone? You're a girl. Or something like that. And she was like, yep. And he was like, you're pretty cute to be hitchhiking alone. And she took out a knife she had in her boot and she put it to his neck and said, are we going to have a problem? And he started to laugh because he's super gay. And he was like, I'm not interested in you in that way. And that's how she met her best friend by putting a fucking knife to his neck and threatening him. That's her, to this day, her best friend.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that gets rid of the last question, which was, how much about Jewel do you think Josh will tell us about himself?
I read the book.
Do you think there's a bigger
Jewel fan
than Josh
Wolf? Yeah. I hope she doesn't listen to this.
The last one is Jordan or Kobe? No. Kobe or LeBron?
Thank you.
There it is.
Kobe or LeBron? Because Jordan's in the
class by himself.
We've decided that.
Yeah.
Although LeBron
and Kobe are different players.
Although LeBron had a shot the other night, and I was like, yikes, dude, against the Wizards.
But off the glass, though. I mean,
still, out of bounds, fading away. The pass from Kevin Love was amazing.
You got to call glass. I wanted him to fall going, glass!
Like, falling away, glass?
Yeah, you gotta call glass.
That would have been, by the way, that's one of the most unbelievable pieces of footage if they zoom in
and
see him say that.
Glass?
I am going to go...
And why?
Absolutely. By a decent head, Kobe.
Yeah.
Really?
He's got 5.
Yeah.
His intensity,
yep.
His drive to win, his wanting of the ball. There was no question who wanted the ball at the end of the game.
Yeah, dude.
Give me the fucking ball.
You're starting a team, you take Kobe over LeBron?
Yeah.
In their
shit.
Because here's the
Might
deal.
I have to agree, dude.
Listen, you are who you are, okay? So he is worthy of the championships he's gotten. And yes, there was the block last season.
Oh, shit.
And yes, he hustles. But he still doesn't really, really want the ball.
Can I go ahead and throw one little bit into your rent?
Can I throw a wrench? He don't really want the
ball.
I
love you with two fit. Can I throw a little wrench into there for you?
Come on, man.
Kobe's had a fucking great team anytime he's won. Great. LeBron took a team.
Anytime he's won? I mean.
A great squad. LeBron took a team before last year against the Golden. It was him against the Warriors. Can we all agree? It was him against. And he
like brought, almost won?
Well, they were leading in that series. He took a team his first year or second year in Cleveland. Who else was on that team when he went to the finals against the Spurs? You name one other fucking guy on that team? So he's done some stuff. I get it. And Kobe's a killer. And I agree with that. But LeBron's game, his all-around game, he doesn't have the step on your neck, I will fuck your mother to win.
I still haven't seen him
want the ball.
Win a game. Like, at the end. Where? Larry Bird's got shitloads of them. Kobe's got shitloads of them. Jordan's got shitloads. Where is the highlight of all the game winners? That's why, with that shot, they said, he's finally got one.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fucking February. Off the glass. Right. Big fucking deal. Right.
Yeah.
Think of how many times he passed a ball in that game seven. Now, granted, he showed up. But that's why his defense is so good, because he's scared of the ball. He's scared of missing the shot. So I am going to do these superhuman things on the other side of the ball because that's how he compensates.
Kobe didn't
do that. And that's fine.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
None of the greats did.
Yeah, but Kobe didn't make... Okay.
Give me the damn
ball. No doubt.
Ball.
No fucking doubt.
Give me the damn ball.
You're going to edit the Jewel stuff out, right? Okay. Yeah.
Joe, you're the best.
You're the best.
Thanks for
you're
doing
the
best. This. April 12th, Return of the Mac.
Tune in.
Great pitch.
Yeah.
Good call.